Welcome to Podcast 83, a regular look at the news, stories, and trends related to Michigan's 83 counties, from Keweenaw to Monroe, Chippewa to Berrien. Brought to you by the Michigan Association of Counties. Here's your host, MAC Executive Director Stephen Curry.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Podcast 83. This is Dina Bosworth, Director of Governmental Affairs for Michigan Association of Counties. Today's episode, I have with me Chris Kolb. Chris Kolb is currently the State Budget Director and was a former state legislator. He was in the House for 6 years, Chris?
Correct.
6 years. Well, welcome.
Thank
you. We thought we'd talk to him
a
little bit
about... Here.
Talk a little bit about what's happening in Lansing or not happening in Lansing and kind of go from there. So, question for you. You were on the Appropriations Committee when you were in the House, yes?
Yes.
Now you're State Budget Director. What do you think is the biggest difference from what you saw in that seat to this seat?
I've said this before, so I'll be consistent at least. But I think as a legislator, you really only see the tip of the iceberg of the budget, how it's put together, all of the different ins and outs of the budget, and all the decisions that have to be made for that document to just come forward is really amazing. And in the legislature, I handled, you know, 4 or 5 budgets for my caucus and thought I knew quite a bit about the budget. Mm-hmm. Only to this job realize I didn't know a whole heck of a lot and really appreciate now the work that the State Budget Office does.
Yeah, I think you've got to get so much information from each state department. I just can only imagine. I mean, this being the first year as State Budget Director and the governor's new term and inheriting all the departments and what they did before and what their requests were before and then.
Yeah, we had to get, we had really a short period of time to get the budget done. They give you an extra month, your first year, but in reality, you don't come in office until January. So you got 2 months to put it together. Normally you start the next, the coming year's budget in September, just after Labor Day, and you work all the way up to when you release it in the first week of February. So you've got a pretty long, lead time. We had that truncated. Then we had a governor who had some really big priorities out there. And then we had to also go in and start to address the department's priorities as well. And basically told the departments that the governor had some, really big buckets that if you're going to ask for some sort of investment, it had to fall into one of those buckets. And those were literally transportation, fixed dam roads, education, and then the big bucket that I called public health and safety. And if you could get it into one of those buckets, you had a much better chance of at least having, a positive response to your request. But if you couldn't fit into one of those buckets, you might want to wait until next year. And then the next budget, we anticipate, will have a more of a departmental flavor to it as we go forward. But this one is really about the governor and her priorities. And
fix the damn roads.
Fix the damn roads, improve our schools, and protect our water.
Yeah, good. Good. Yeah, I sat through the entire budget presentation. And it laid out quite the case. And meeting with you previously, we've talked about, we have some of our county priorities, which, we can go through those in a few minutes. But, from what I understand, really, the whole budget is sitting where it's sitting because we're waiting for some sort of road funding fix. That this budget was really built upon the need for additional revenue to address those priorities and how are we going to get there?
Yeah.
Is that kind of where you think we're stuck right now?
Yeah, we're really right there. If you look at the budget, especially the general fund budget, it's where the general fund is about $10.7 billion today. It's exactly where it was 20 years ago when the governor and I both came into the state house. That's what our general budget was. So it's remained flat over a 20-year period. If you even your own household budget, if your household budget has been flat for 20 years, there's a lot of things you aren't doing that you should have been doing. And for us, we've not been making the investment into our transportation system. We've not been making investments in our school system. And we have not been protecting our water, especially our drinking water systems across the state. So we laid out a budget that said, hey, there isn't any magical pot of money out there that we can find and bring to fix these problems within the current budget. So the answer is you really need it to increase revenue to address these problems. And the governor laid out a budget that does that. We raised $2.5 billion in new revenue. We apply the majority of that goes to roads, but allows us to also pull general fund out of roads back into higher ed, which allows us to take back some school aid fund and invest in our schools. So the plan is, one, it hits all the priorities, not just this governor, but what the residents of the state of Michigan said. They wanted to have their roads fixed, they wanted their schools improved, and they wanted their drinking water protected.
Yep, nope, that completely makes sense. You know, her proposal on raising that revenue and the 45-cent gas tax, I mean, that was not met very enthusiastically by the legislature. And our membership, you know, also did give very pause to the 45 cents for sure. But I think we all agree that the revenue increase has to happen. You know, and as an association, we've agreed with the $2.5 billion and raised the revenue and actually put the money where it needs to go and into that infrastructure.
Everyone who's looked at this has said that we need over $2 billion a year annually to really go in and fix our transportation system. So that is nothing new. It's just that this is a governor who has said this is what the problem is and here's the solution. We'll look at any other solution that raises that, you know, mm-hmm. that type of money. But anything less than that really then becomes problematic in that you just, we ran multiple different numbers of raising multiple different amounts of money, different ways, and that was the only one that gave you enough money to reach that 90% of state roads in good and fair condition. Anything else, just you don't ever get there, and then the curve just starts dragging you back down, and that's because you get too many roads in poor condition, and roads in poor condition just cost way too much to bring back up to good. And so the more you have in poor, it just drags the rest of your road system down. So it was, you need a lot of money and you need it injected up front, and then you're able to get up to that 90% good and fair goal.
You know, from a county perspective, we look at it just a little bit differently, and we look at the roads in the same way I think that you guys are looking at it, that it needs the money now. Don't let them get into poor condition. It costs way too much. We want to be able to maintain the good ones that we have, but really fix the ones that are in desperate need of it. We also look at, you know, greater infrastructure issues and really local government in general. We feel like, you know, there's been a disinvestment, I think, in local government and local government financing and how we provide our services at the local level, and roads are part of that. Roads are part of that. And so, you know, we were happy to see the governor recommend an increase to county revenue sharing. You know, it was a 3% increase, not quite, because of our, you know, convoluted county revenue sharing structure, but it was still there. It was still, you know, an investment in it. So we were happy to see that. But I think without coming up with some sort of revenue fix, I don't know where we're going to end up.
I can tell you, we've looked at a skinny budget, and it's very little increase for anybody without that injection of revenue. I'm a local government guy. Came from the city council in Ann Arbor, and then up the state house, and now into the state budget office. But I know that the need to invest in our local communities, our local governments, and our county governments, what, you know, important work they do to protect public health and safety, to provide that quality of life that the residents of Michigan not only want, but need and deserve. And so they are a partner with us at the state level. This governor sees local governments and local communities as a partner. That's why we tried to give as much increase as we could. Breathe at 3%, you know, isn't a ton of money, but it's at least it's an indication that we want to increase the money going to our local communities, and it's a good faith effort to increase the money for a change.
I think for counties, separating counties, and I'm working hard. We're working very hard at Michigan Association of Counties to kind of band with and work with our other local partners, with, you know, the cities and the townships and the villages. But we also have to remember that we got to separate us out because we're extremely different. We provide very, very different services. And the way that county government revenue sharing has gone over the years, the gap between the funding for counties and the funding and revenue sharing for cities, villages, and townships just keeps widening because we don't have constitutional revenue sharing. They were very fortunate enough to have that protection, and I have said this 1,000 times, we're not looking at trying to take any of that away. They need all the money they can get to provide the services that they provide. But at some point, we also need to look at county revenue sharing in a different manner, because we don't get the $1.1 billion for the same number of population that the cities, villages, and townships get. And we provide services that are just not that sexy. People don't know what counties do unless you're involved and actually need them. They don't understand our involvement in public health, or who knows about tax equalization, for crying out loud, right? You know, or drains, or the countywide elected officers, or, you know, providing for abused and neglected kids, or the courts, and all of those things that are very complicated.
And very important.
And very important. Extremely important, just not necessarily always, you know, in the limelight. You don't say, well, I live in Ingham County. You say, I live in East Lansing, or I live in, you know what I mean? You don't say, I live in Kent County. You say, I live in Grand Rapids, or I live, you know, so it's that identification of what are those services and what is it that the county does. And that's incumbent upon us to do a little bit more education of the public there, too. So it looks like revenues are coming in a little, the estimates are coming in a little bit better. What do you think?
They're a little bit better. You know, they were down at first, and then their, you know, belief is that with the new federal tax rates that people held back some money, and now everything seems to be pretty normalized. The general fund's up a little bit, but school aid is down a little bit. So it's pretty much a wash, and we're not seeing any great new buckets of money, as I said before. So we may have a little bit of more money, but it's nothing that you're going to be able to fix your roads or improve your schools, protect your drinking water with. So in that case, you know, we need to really, you know, look for more revenue to do these things. You know, one of the things that we are looking at in different departments is how can we partner with our local governments, counties. You know, really the public health and environmental health aspect is huge. In drinking water, you know, the PFAS, there's lead. There's all sorts of issues that we really need to be working together with, because the state can't do it on its own, nor can the counties or our public health officials do it, you know, solely on their own. So I think that's where we need to figure out how 1 + 1 can equal more than 2. And so we look forward to you know, really funding some of those programs that we can get a, you know, bigger bang for our buck by working together on a shared vision of what the services really need to be.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. And we've always really been more of a service delivery arm for the state anyway. So, you know, obviously any of those conversations, we're more than happy to participate in. All right, well, the legislature's gone. And we've been talking about how quiet it is and how quiet it's been all year. Just, there's just not that much happening. You've got big issues on the table. And I think that that's kind of sucking all the air out of the room. So no fault was taken care of, and then, you know, we're talking about how we're really going to do road funding and getting the budget done, and everything else just seems to be very quiet. Are you feeling the same way? Is it?
Yeah, I think things have been, you know, one, the legislature's out back home for their in-district work that's going on, meeting with their constituents, and, you know, no fault took a lot of effort to get to agreement and move forward on it. It's something that I think brought some goodwill because of the agreement and getting something done together. We hope that goodwill continues as we move forward to a roads package and then to a full budget implementation. But it is a little bit quiet, and we are in sort of the dog days of summer now, and in making sure that we leave ourselves enough time to get a budget done.
What's your over-under? Are we going to get it done by October 1st?
I'm the optimist of the group, and I believe that we'll get it done by the new fiscal year. It's really just getting a roads funding package agreement, and to do that, we just need to have the Republican leadership bring forth their proposals so we can start to have those negotiations.
I mean, they've thrown some stuff out there.
There's been no formal presentation. There's been no full package of this is how much we're raising, this is how we're raising it, to be able to respond to. So until that happens, we can only wait for them to present something. Obviously, the conversations happen. I meet periodically with the appropriations chairs. I know that the governor talks to leadership, legislative leadership, on an ongoing basis, but we've never had any of those real formal presentations and proposals. And until we do, it is going to be a little quiet.
So you're thinking quite a hectic September.
I'm thinking it's going to be a mad rush. And, at times it's not unusual, but because of that constitutional deadline, it really, when you don't leave yourself enough time, you're really slamming things together at the last moment, and mistakes can happen. And with the budget, you want to make sure that all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. And so we got a lot of work to get done. It's very doable. We just need that first piece to fall.
It's a big piece.
It's a big piece, but it's doable.
It's a big piece. Well, I want to thank you for coming and talking to us today. I appreciate it. Any words of wisdom you want to leave us with?
Only that I think we really do appreciate what our partners in the counties do, what they mean to the residents of the state of Michigan, to our quality of life, and never think that you don't have a partner in the governor's office.
Yep. No, it's been a very good open door, so we appreciate that.
Us too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Podcast 83, the go-to source for all information about Michigan's 83 counties.